from our Lord and our Savior Jesus, the crucified and the risen Christ. I'd like to begin this morning by sharing a quote with you, and it comes from the Maundy Thursday liturgy for Holy Week. Quote, "The pastor placing both hands on each person's head shall declare, in obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the authority of his word, I forgive you all your sins." Close quote. Wow. That's pretty heavy. I forgive you all your sins. So where does the pastor get such authority? Where does this come from? Indeed, is it even true? Can the pastor actually forgive my sins? Listen again. Quote, "In obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the authority of his word, I forgive you all your sins." Close quote. Historically, within Christendom, this has been referred to as the office of the keys. Maybe you remember learning about this years ago back in catechism. It is part of Luther's small catechism. So where does this all come from? Who invented this? Answer, Jesus. Where? Today's gospel, just one example. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus gives us the pattern for handling all of human conflicts. Wisely, this is the pattern that is prescribed by all church and synodical constitutions for handling all situations of official church discipline. What does Jesus command us to do? Matthew 18, beginning at verse 15. "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone." Little word, alone, very important. In other words, you don't go complaining to your best friends about how terrible so-and-so is. You don't go out and practice character assassination. That's murder. Destroying their reputation, destroying their life, destroying them, rallying your supporters for the fight. No. The scriptures continue, quote, "If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, then tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." Living many years ago in the Middle East and having returned there more than once, they have a word for that in the Middle East, and it's more of an action. I am done with you. Okay? In other words, if you have a troublemaker in your midst, someone who loves to stir things up, to be contentious, to be divisive, do not have anything more to do with them. There's actually an awful lot about this in Scripture. For example, in Titus, the third chapter, "But avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. After a first and second admonition, have nothing more to do with anyone who causes divisions." since you know that such a person is perverted and sinful, being self-condemned." Close quote. The pattern given to us in God's word is very plain. Number one, talk to the person when you are alone. Number two, bring one or two witnesses. Number three, bring it to the church authorities. Number four, have nothing more to do with them. This is the pattern Christ prescribes and commands for us, his church. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus then says in verse 8, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." What is Jesus talking about? All this binding and loosing language. Obviously, it is very important. This is not the first time it is mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew. Indeed, the first time it appears in the Gospel of Matthew is at that point where Peter makes the great confession. We looked at this just 2 weeks ago in our gospel lesson from Matthew 16. Jesus asks, quote, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answers him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock," the rock of his confession, "this rock, this truth, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then immediately Jesus goes on to say, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This binding and loosing is at the very heart of what the church is all about, its mission. It's at the very heart of who Jesus is. It's at the very heart of the truth, the good news of the gospel, the very mission of the church. It is all about binding and loosing. Therefore, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, on Easter, in his very first appearance to the apostles as they are all gathered there together in the upper room, John chapter 20, verse 19, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, Sunday, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." This is the Great Commission in the Gospel of John. When Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." In other words, they are not forgiven. Their sins are sealed upon them, with the hope that they will repent so that they might be forgiven. So again in Matthew 16, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The office of the keys. Close quote. It is that authority which Christ gave to his church to forgive the sins of those who repent and to declare to those who do not repent that their sins are not forgiven. Close quote. Directly from Luther's Small Catechism. In Christ's ministry, one of the biggest conflicts and controversies is, who has the power to forgive sins? We see this again and again in Jesus' ministry. And the answer is only God has the power to forgive sins. Just think of the story of the paralytic. Four friends bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. They literally tear a hole in the roof so they can lower him down into the midst of the crowd. And Jesus, looking upon him, says, "Your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees, they go ballistic. "You can't say that. Only God has the power to forgive sins." Okay? Paraphrase a little bit. Jesus looks at them. "You got trouble with that one? Try this one on for size. I say to you, take up your bed, pick it up, and go home." And instantly, he heals them. "Yeah, I am God," he's saying. "I am God. I do have the power to forgive sins." Matthew 16, Jesus says to Peter, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock," this confession, this great truth, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then he goes on to describe the mission of his church. In the very next verse, verse 19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is why St. Peter is often depicted as holding two big keys. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah. These keys, this power to forgive sins and this power to bind sins, it belongs to the whole church. Okay? Peter just symbolically holds them on behalf of the church. Historically, for the sake of good order, and that's a very important little phrase, for the sake of good order, and so that this awesome power should not be misused, should not be abused, the church has delegated the exercising of this authority, this power, to his called and ordained clergy. Hence, the liturgy for Maundy Thursday, where we first began. Quote, "As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you, I forgive you all your sins." Close quote. In this statement is not somebody named Paul Larson. The I in this statement is the office of pastor, exercising the power to forgive sins on behalf of Christ's body, the church. What is the core of the gospel? What is the heart of Easter? It's the keys of the kingdom, the power to forgive and the power to bind. Yes, to forgive as Christ has first forgiven us. Grace, full and free, never earned, never deserved. But this is not a blind forgiveness. This is not cheap grace. This is not a declaration of forgiveness without there being first true repentance. For where there is true confession, true repentance, Christ, the Lord of the church, is truly present in the fullness of his mercy to forgive any sin, to forgive all sin, to give to you and to me the miracle of that new beginning, that in Christ we are literally anew forgiven, our sins are washed away. This is the miracle of the gospel. This is the miracle of his love. This is the miracle of God's grace. Amen. We stand to sing the hymn of the